My name is Michelle Zeman, and I am the host of the Safe Space, the ABA podcast. Super excited for this episode. Before we dive into everything, just make sure you watch out for those code words. So today I have a really wonderful and exciting guest for us. Her name is Christina Torres. She comes from ABA Made Easy. I'm really excited to talk to her about what we're about to talk about, which is all about social media and marketing within ABA. So welcome to the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. So, you know, before everything, tell us what inspired you. What got you in this field?
Oh my gosh. So I started working with adults and adolescents as a life skills coach and a community mentor. And I really enjoyed the role. And I was looking for something more like, it wasn't challenging enough for me, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, I found a job. It was a full-time position in a school as an ABA therapist working with kids. And I've worked with kids prior, so I was like, okay, let me try working with kids, you know? And then I fell in love with ABA. I was introduced to, like, a really great program. There was an amazing BCBA. It was a perfect setting. We had the sped teacher, BCBA, our whole room. And my first baseline of ABA was high quality, top tier. And I'm like, wow, I found what I was meant to do. How do I, like, progress in the field, right? Because at that time, I think I was around like 24. And I'm like, all right, I know what I want to do. How do I make more money? Because I cannot afford to have a family making $15 an hour. This was back in like 2014.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to go become a BCBA, go get your master's. So I went home and I immediately signed up for a program here in Connecticut. And I started in that August. And then the program it turned into a 3-year program. So what I did within those 3 years, I made sure to really expose myself in all the different avenues that ABA is in. So like school, home, the clinic setting. So the whole time I was in grad school, I was just trying to really get as much exposure as I can to really understand the science in the different settings.
Oh my goodness. That is really awesome. So, you know, you found yourself in the field, you're an ABA therapist, but then marketing comes along and social media and ABA Made Easy. So tell us a little bit about the birthing of ABA Made Easy.
Oh my God. It's so funny you said about the birthing, because ABA Made Easy was inspired because of my daughter's birth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So if you guys are not familiar, my daughter was a 25 weeker. So she came extremely premature and we spent 4 months in the NICU. So I stopped working when I had her and I would just focus on my daughter and, like, you know, helping her, like waiting for her to get strong enough to get out. And then once she came home, I just couldn't see myself going back full-time work. I've been in the field for 10 years. I was like, you know what? Let me go start my consulting practice. I want to be able to make ABA easy for the families, the RBTs, anyone that works for our learners. I just wanted to make the science so much more easier to relate to, but also to understand. So yeah. I was like, I need to have a flexible schedule. I'm a brand new mom. I know my stuff. I'm pretty competent. So let me go start my own private practice and offer resources and guidance and support for those that are interested in learning more. So that's exactly where ABA Made Easy came from and my whole journey to being on platform, like having my own platform and on social media and stuff like that.
That's really awesome. And, you know, it's really interesting because you talk about like the flexibility and, you know, needing to have a little bit more of that. Tell me, like, in your own words, like, why do you feel that flexibility is so vital and so important for BCBAs to be able to have?
Oh my gosh. I mean, like, once you turn into a BCBA, you understand, it's a caseworker. So you need to be able to manage your time, especially depending on the setting that you're in. If you have learners in the school, in the clinic, and in the home, then you have to balance and be flexible. And then there's call outs and then you have hours that you have to make up, you know? So having been exposed to that piece, I'm like, okay, no. Now with this new schedule, especially as my daughter's getting older and like the time zones and stuff like that, I'm taking advantage of being able to actually take calls at night when she's asleep, because I could take calls from anywhere in the world because you have different time zones and different hours that can actually work with your flexibility, especially Like during the day, I can start my days later. Like I don't start my office hours start at 10 because I have to get her ready, you know? So I have that flexibility to start late, work a little late. I can work online. It doesn't really hold me back. So that was my favorite and most motivating part, was being able to have that flexible schedule so that I can still be a present parent, but also still, support the community that I'm so involved in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the words that come to mind are work-life balance. You're basically achieving that as a result.
Yes, you need to, especially when you become a parent. Oh my goodness. It's like, especially when she just started daycare this week. So between my mom and his mom, yeah, like some days they couldn't pick her up. So, you know, I would be out of work. I had to call out of work. So, and also too, when she gets sick, she's sick for like a whole week. So I knew I could be able to have that flexibility if I could work from home and just transfer my in-person consults to online, you know, or just delay them.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's so important to be able to have that and to be able to, you know, still attend to your own needs and your own life, but at the same time, like you're still helping out the community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you're just going on vacation, just being like, okay, peace out guys, bye. Like, no, it's not like that, you know. That was really cool. Oh, so I know that you offer a distinctive service of BCBA baseline business mentorship. Elaborate for me, like what this service entails and how it benefits aspiring behavior analysts.
Yeah. So when I decided to start my business, right, I knew I didn't want to go the typical medical model. You know, I didn't want to open up my own ABA practice. I wanted to have that flexibility. And I'm like, you know what, let me start my consulting practice. And I actually formed my LLC October of 2022, but I didn't officially launch until September, like 6 months ago, because there were so much business backend things that I was learning. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have a mentor. I couldn't afford $300 an hour for a mentor, you know, and I had to do all the market research and all that backend stuff. So one of the things too, as behavior analysts, we do have a lot of the clinical lens, but we don't have the business end. And part of my my consulting practice is I wanted to be able to refer out. I wanted to have the answers to questions that I didn't have those answers to, especially when it came to like experts, like, oh, a feeding specialist. Well, I'm not an expert in feeding, but I have a BCBA that's an expert in feeding. So all of last year, I was doing a lot of networking to build my referral list and also learning business, right? So a lot of, I was sharing my story on TikTok and on Instagram, and a lot of BCBAs were coming up to me like, what are you doing? I want to do it. I'm tired. Everyone's tired of the medical model, right? And they want
flexibility.
So I'm like, okay, let me basically create this whole little baseline business behavior. It's like baseline, guys, you're either going to pass or fail. So let me share where I failed at. So it doesn't take you a year as long as it took me. I'm going to give you guys a whole task list. I'm going to give you guys choices. I'm going to give you guys embedded links. This takes, the response effort is 2 minutes. It costs $0. You need this number. You're going to get it here. You know what I mean? The website takes about 6 weeks and they range from here. And this is a little tool so that you can get it for cheaper. Like, I just wanted to create a whole little TA for everyone that's motivated or inspired to start their practice, but they don't know where to start. I'm like, I'm going to give you the roadmap of what I wish I had so that you can start checking off the boxes, so that at some point you're going to have all the boxes checked and you're going to be like, oh, shoot, I'm ready to actually move forward with my own thing. And it's like, yes, I got you. I told you.
Oh my God. That is so cool. Cause you know, it's so funny too, because I've seen a lot of BCBAs who are like, I want to start my own business. I want to start my own practice, but it's almost like, okay, but where do I actually start? Like,
yeah. And then especially when it comes to like, I'm not going the medical model, but I have a lot of friends that have went that route. So they were able to share so much, and I was able to share with my community. And then I also got a few medical billers, a part of my network too. So I had one of my friends come on and speak about insurance credentialing and things to consider, you know, because there's all those factors that we're lacking the knowledge of. So I want to be able to present that to my community and like let them know. My whole thing too is like, I love to be proactive. You know what I mean? Especially with our learners. What are the antecedent measures? What are proactive measures? Yeah, let's be proactive here. So if you feel like one day you'd like to start your own practice, here's a little roadmap, some things to consider so that when you are at that level and you feel like you're ready to take that next step, because it's all a shaping process, here you go. You know what I mean? Let's make it easier for you. So like those inspiring future BCBAs, I think it's not everyone wants to be, you know, an entrepreneur or a business owner, but there are a lot of people that get to the point where it's like, okay, I'm pretty competent. You know, I'd like to try to venture off on my own or even do it on the side. You can still work full time and have your own little consulting practice on the side and like make a little passive income. And then next thing you know, you might be thriving over here and you could kind of like start fading out of the other realm.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it's really interesting because you talk about like, you know, making sure that, you know, they have like a list that they follow. They have like a website that they're supposed to create too. And so how do you teach your aspiring BCBAs and aspiring people who want to become entrepreneurs, you know, still be able to follow the ethics code, you know, because I'm looking at things like social media channels and website in our ethics code, you know, so how do we make sure that balance is still there?
Yeah, I know. I always share too with like one of the things that I mentioned the first week of my mentorship, I mentioned like your business name. Right? Because the BACB has BCBA trademark as well as like RBT. So you're not supposed to have like Christina Torres BCBA.com because BCBA is technically trademark. And who's to say that you lose your credential? Now you're not a BCBA, but your website says BCBA. You know what I mean? And then also too, one of the things you need to make sure that you have a statement on your website that you're not associated with the BACB, especially if you are using the BCBA, the letters. You can absolutely reach out to them, but I mean, it's just easier to probably just put that little disclaimer there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I feel like with the ethics, you do have to be mindful of what you guys, and then also like the cookies and just like the website, like standards in general, right? It's like, oh, you need a warning for the cookies and like the pop-up blockers and like, especially as a practitioner, you want to make sure that you do put the disclaimers that this is just educational. It doesn't pair you with a professional relationship. All these little variables to be mindful of so that you're not held liable for things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like that's so important to be able to, you know, put out there, especially because, you know, like I said earlier, people are wanting to become entrepreneurs, but then they just might not know where to start. And so that's where it's like that balance between I want to become an entrepreneur, I want to do these awesome things, but then I also have to make sure I follow my ethics code at the same time.
I know. When I was doing my website too, there were like, I had the option to put like reviews and stuff, but I was like, I like kept referencing the review thing. And I'm like, okay, I can't solicit reviews. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave the reviews out, you know? And if they want to, they could leave me a Google review, but I'm just going to leave the reviews off of my page.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's better to just leave it out as opposed to like, you know, try to get people to do reviews for you. Because unfortunately, soliciting reviews is something that is still unfortunately very common, I have found, especially with employees, you know? So that's definitely a good thing that like, you know, like when it comes to following the ethics code with reviews, you know, we can't be soliciting those.
I know. I'm like, we'll just leave that out. That's one less thing I have to worry about. I got more things to be concerned about than reviews right now.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. Something else that I noticed on your website is that you offer a program called the Behavioral Approach Mentorship. So tell me the difference between the BCBA Baseline Business Behavior Mentorship and the Behavioral Approach Mentorship.
Yeah. So the Baseline Business Behavior Mentorship is literally for those that are interested in learning more. Like, okay, what's the roadmap to kind of start my practice? It's basically like a behavioral approach program. So basically a behavioral approach program is simply applying ABA, like it's a shaping program. So what I do is I simply explain things from a behavioral perspective. And then we kind of create little targets and guidelines and task lists. Okay, like let's accomplish this. It's a little shape, like you want to save a certain amount of money. All right, let's focus on like, can you save $50 a week? And then our goal is like creating that timeline and that measurable behavior for them to be able to accomplish. So it's a shaping process. That's what a behavioral approach is. It's like, okay, what are you struggling with? Let's analyze it. Let's come up. Let's collaborate together and get you to where you want to be. So I'm just trying to like disseminate ABA without like applying. Because technically too, as an educational consultant, I am not providing medical treatment. So I do not need to be licensed in the state that I'm providing consults in because I'm not giving you therapy. I'm just sharing a behavioral lens and giving you a shaping program. Yeah, that is also something for people to consider. Like, I'm not in the medical model. I'm an educational consultant. I'm just sharing insight from a behavioral lens.
Exactly. Like, you don't necessarily, like, from what I get, it's, you don't necessarily need 4 to 6 letters to, you know, be able to do this, mm-hmm. you know? That is so cool. That is so cool. You know, one of the other things I think about is, you know, traditionally speaking, ABA professionals may or may not prioritize branding and marketing in their career path. So what inspired you to integrate those elements within your practice as well?
Yeah. So when you really think of it, right, a lot of us are in the medical model, right? You don't really need to brand for your ABA clinic because you're going to get your clients, you're going to get the referrals. So it's not really so much for you to focus on like the branding part until like, I mean, now social media is a huge deal. It's 2024. Everyone is online. So, and I love the fact that there's a lot of ABA practices online and we have a huge community on Instagram and social media. So I love to see it, but I also love how everyone kind of brands themselves. So not everyone's going to go online, but I totally suggest you guys to leverage your social media community, but also your in-person community, because you're going to have access to way more opportunities online than you are in your community. And one of the things too, when it came to my branding specifically, it took me a while to kind of figure out exactly what I wanted to represent, right? I'm like, okay, do I want to be like that corporate vibe, that too professional? And I'm like, heck no, because girl, I want to represent what I'm bringing to the table. I want it to be personable, relatable. And I understand that I'm not everyone's cup of tea, right? I have a personality, but I will be resonating with who others that are interested in, like, appreciate my approach. And that's completely fine. So like when it came to my branding, this is actually my inspiration of what ABA Made Easy was. I wanted to represent me and, you know, the colors that I love, comfortable, there's coffee, I'm looking at a map, I'm brainstorming. So when it came to my logo, it's a businesswoman with a laptop because I'm always on my computer creating materials, doing interviews, whatever. But also too, my slogan is knowledge, guidance, and support. So it's like, okay, you're going to get knowledge, guidance, and support from ABA Made Easy. And this is what I wanted to represent. It's like, it's me, that's my brand, and that's what I stand for.
That's phenomenal. I love that so much. Like, you know, especially because like, that's what you're promoting as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, I've been so driven. It's like this, the whole past year, this is me on my computer learning how to learn business and creating my materials and going on meets. I'm like, oh no, that's what it is. It's me. And I'm bringing the knowledge, the guidance, the support that I have to offer to anyone that wants it. So.
Yeah. And you mentioned something that stood out. You mentioned that there's a lot more opportunities online than there are in person. I mean, I agree with that, you know?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And then when it comes to branding, right? You know, especially when it comes to social media, depending on the platform that you're on, you're going to target the different audience a different way, right? I started my journey on TikTok, and TikTok is more like pillow talk. I'm answering questions. My hair looks crazy. Like my daughter's probably yelling in the background. And then like on Instagram, I wanted to pair with more professional and my resources, especially since Instagram, there are a lot of like ABA companies and grad students and all those type of like those people that would actually benefit from my products, right? And then on LinkedIn is all professional CEOs, business owners. That's the B2B. B2B is business to business. B2C is business to consumer. So that is where you're going to get all those business partnership deals, and you better insert yourself and share what you represent and connect with those big people that have opportunities for you to really expand and scale your business.
That is so very true. I mean, you know, and you know, different social media channels provide like a different tone that you have to set, you mm-hmm. know? So it's like, you have to know your audience. You have to know what, like, even like, I feel like something as simple as hashtags is something you have to know.
And then also too, the algorithm and the platform in general. I was not too crazy about LinkedIn because it was so aversive to me. It's like a whole learning curve. And I'm like, hey, but I had to get comfortable with it because of my business. So yeah. I was like, all right, let me hop on here, you know, and start being engaged. and learning how it goes. So yeah, LinkedIn is a whole different avenue for the ABA field too.
Oh my goodness. Just out of curiosity, what social media platform have you personally found the most success with out of TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn?
Yeah. So, through my Stan store, everything, that's another thing too, when it comes to ABA, everything is all, it's ABA, like the analytics, I could analyze all my data, see where everyone's coming from, see which people are clicking on the most. So for sure, I have more followers on TikTok, and I feel like TikTok is my bigger audience and where I get more of my leads. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, I'm forming that's where I did a lot of my networking. So I'm building a lot of networks, which I then partnered with a few other BCBAs. And also this opportunity to speak with you was all through Instagram.
Yes.
And then I landed I'm working on an IEP program, and I'm going to be getting it published with Unitas TI, which is a special education platform. Ooh. And I landed that on LinkedIn. And then I also, through that partnership, I landed my partnership with Special Learning, where I'm also I can offer on my website on the Special Learning tab. I have a bunch of CEUs and trainings and all more resources. I want ABA Made Easy to be a resource hub, and I accomplished it within 5 months of my starting my company, all because of LinkedIn and just networking. So, yeah, every platform is different, and I love it. I love being online, and networking is like my thing. I have met so many people.
Oh, that is so cool to me. I mean, like, it really just goes to show you, like, there are ways to do it. It's just, you have to find, like, what works.
Yes, but also, too, I let everyone know. When I decided to start my consulting practice, I literally Googled BCBAs near me. I'm in Connecticut, okay? BCBA consultants. There's no independent BCBAs out here. I literally found one who was Nicole Stewart, and I literally inserted myself. Hi, Nicole. My name is Christina. I want to do what you're doing. And she's speaking with me. And so I tell everyone, like, listen, if it doesn't exist, create it. And if you see someone doing it, insert yourself. Say, hey, listen, I love what you're doing. It's something I'm interested in. If you have free time, I would love an opportunity to speak with you. That's it. What's the worst that's going to happen? They ignore you or they say no.
But yeah.
You got to think of what can actually happen. Wow. Now your access, someone that was open to get to actually, you know, if it's like, let's not reinvent the wheel. How can you help me get to where I would like to go if you're open to sharing that information? You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So it's like, you may as well take it.
I get all the shots. I insert myself everywhere. Hey, if I feel like, and this is another thing too, like when you become an entrepreneur, it's super exciting because, you know, you're responsible for maintaining your income, right? And it's like, you kind of want to make sure you have a few different streams of income coming in. And especially with what I'm doing, there's not too many people doing what I'm doing. And it's like, we need more, you know? So it's like, oh, especially with social media, like affiliate marketing, digital marketing, these are all ways for us to really generate passive income. Income that you can make in your sleep, guys. Create a digital product. If you could solve a problem, and you can create a digital product and sell that, and, you know, that's passive income. Hello.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh my goodness. No, I love that so much. And, you know, one of the other things I think about is, you know, how can branding and marketing strategies enhance career prospects of BCBA professionals, particularly in terms of attracting clients and building a strong professional reputation?
Yeah. So back to what I was mentioning before, like when it came to like branding, like if you look at like Facebook, one of the things you need to be mindful of is the psychology of colors. You know, like colors represent certain things and feelings. So you kind of want to be mindful of what colors you want to, you know, pair yourself with, but also the font styles, right? Like if you're more at early education, you might have those fonts that are like, looks like little kid writing, or if you're more professional, it might be like the italic, or, you know, there's different fonts. So you really want to kind of sit down, analyze, what do I want to represent? Do I want to go that corporate professional blue tie collar thing? Okay, then maybe I want to go look at other people's websites that are doing the same thing and see what they're doing and see how they're branding, and then kind of like figure out what works for you. Do you want to have a logo? Do you want to have a little mascot? You know, those are all kind of things to be mindful of. So like the girls at Happy Behavior have like a little bee, and so does like Tati with Unbelievable Behave. She has a little bee. So, you know, there's a lot of things to kind of keep in mind when it is time to brand yourself, because it's very common to rebrand too. Because yeah. I have a few friends that, like, you know, they probably started with the orange and then they're like, you know what, I don't like it. So they go with the teal. So it's hit or miss, honestly. And it takes a while to kind of figure out exactly what you want to feel that represents what you want to stand for.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that you say that too, because like I've noticed just like several rebrands happening on specific companies because they might think, yeah.
And then especially, you know, it's, you know, like, especially if something like is, you know, if they had a tainted image, they probably want to rebrand themselves. So people can kind of forget what that was. And it's like, oh,
you know, yep. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's several companies that have done that.
Yeah. So it's like rebranding.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah. And you know, kind of on that too, you know, as someone who is deeply rooted in ABA, you know, what challenges did you encounter when introducing marketing concepts into your practice and how did you overcome them?
Oh my gosh. Listen, I'm still overcoming them. when it comes to branding and marketing, especially when it comes to having a social media presence, you know, it is very time consuming because you have to create visuals. You have to create, like, especially on Instagram, you know, creating a visual on Instagram using Canva, it could be time consuming, you know. And then how I do my visuals on my Instagram is I usually relate it to one of the resources that I provide. So that's another thing too. Like, my platform is ABA Made Easy, and I wanted to piggyback off of a behavioral approach made easy for like parents, RBTs, you know, that genre, but also applied behavioral analysis made easy for all those professionals and new BCBAs that are still kind of stuck on understanding that. So I wanted to kind of generalize ABA Made Easy on those two groups of people.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like the marketing and all that stuff, it's so time consuming. And I actually have kind of been like, I have like between the projects that I have working on, they have deadlines. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just me. I'm not at the point of my practice where I can kind of delegate $1,800 a month for a social media strategist to create 5 Instagram posts and a reel. I'm like, yeah, no, I will do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's really balancing. It's a learning curve. You got to master and get adjusted to Canva. When I first got exposed to Canva, it was overwhelming. I'm like, oh, what the heck is this? But then, you know, you can't take a couple deep breaths. You're like, all right, these are my colors. And then you could change everything and you just kind of start finagling things. And then that's why I like TikTok, because I just literally reply back to the comments. I don't need to create visuals, or it's a lower response effort for sure.
We got to love low response effort tasks, right?
Low effort, high reinforcement.
Exactly. Exactly. And then when it comes to like Instagram, you know, you got to make things all pretty and the aesthetic is real. And it's like, You gotta do all those things.
Yes. And I cannot spell. I aim for 80% accuracy. So you will always see spelling errors on my things. And I am proud to acknowledge that my goal is 80%. Okay. Yes, I have a master's degree in ABA, but I cannot spell to save the life of me. So if you see something, you know what I mean.
It's so funny because you say you can't spell things. For me, it's pronunciation. So trying to like enunciate exactly what I'm trying to like say and articulate it all. It's like, huh? It's so
like I'm looking for authors, right? And I spell author, like the name author, and not with the O. And somebody was like, professional edit. I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah, authors. I cannot spell. I'm telling you. I totally get it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And that's why I didn't want to be too professional, because I'm like, they're going to tear me down. Like, you misspelled author. How are you a professional brand? How are we supposed to trust you? And I'm like, listen, progress over perfection. Okay.
Exactly. Period. There you go. Like literally. Yes. Because that is so true, you know, and it's so interesting because perfection is totally a big, like, red flashing light in our face in our field.
Yeah. And it's like, no thanks. 80% across 3 trials.
Yeah. Unless it deals with safety and danger of our clients' lives. Absolutely. We're gonna stick with the lower mastery criteria.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, we are at the point of the episode where we are going to give our first code word. And that first code word is the word consistency. That is C-O-N-S-I-S-T-E-N-C-Y. That is consistency. And I made sure to spell that right. Oh my gosh. No, I digress.
They're hard words, right?
It's like they are. Oh my gosh. No, I totally get that. Oh my goodness. So your approach seems to bridge the gap between, you know, the clinical aspects of ABA, but then also the business side of the profession. So do you have, can you share any like success stories or examples of how effective branding and marketing have positively impacted your own clients' careers and their own branding?
Yeah, I have a few of my grad students, a few of my mentees that have taken my baseline business behavior mentorship. Like we're in connections because, you know, a few of them have already launched their like Instagram, like their business platform. And so we're like, okay, do you like this color? How's the font look? You know, because we have a whole section in my mentorship about the whole branding thing. And like I said, you really want to be mindful of what you want to pair yourself with and what you want to represent, because your brand is your brand. This is your baby. So for like success stories, like, and also too, it's always like social media and stuff like that is always evolving. Like I've been online, like my logo was my white logo for a while on Instagram. And then I just recently switched it to a picture of me to see if I'm actually just analyzing my behavior and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, the first year was an entrepreneurship and it's like ABA made easy, but I'm in the process of starting my podcast too, the behavioral approach. So I think I'm going to re-put the logo of ABA Made Easy as my logo because I want to stick with that branding and then place that same picture that I use for all of my promos of me, myself, and I as that personable brand with the podcast one.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that so much. And I love that you like sort of like have a strategy on like where you're going to use the picture versus where you're going to use just like your basic logo, you know?
Yeah. And that also tears down because on LinkedIn, I have this like, consistency was one of my keywords because you need to remain consistent when it comes to social media and your business, right? So One of the things is like, and also pattern recognition, like when you're consistent with your branding, your fonts, your styles, everything kind of is like that. Everyone starts to start after repeated exposure. It's like you've been paired with it and they know where to go. Like for instance, Rosie with Behaviorify, you could spot out one of her posts anywhere because she's got like that, you know, the images that she uses in her colors, like, oh, that's Rosie's post. You know what I mean? And yeah. So Brenda has a really good branding strategy too. So ooh, with my picture, with your behavior mentor, and then on LinkedIn, I've been collaborating with a lot of business owners. So I'm like, ooh, since I'm dealing with a lot of the business people on LinkedIn, I want to pair my platform with my that same exact image, like kind of trickle down to the hierarchy of like where the business is at. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So then now with the podcast, it's like, I want to brand ABA Made Easy as that resource hub. So I'm going to return it back to that white icon with the whole, all the resources. And then I'm going to kind of separate the business piece with the behavioral network, because I'm going to be bringing all that business sense to that podcast and business opportunities there.
That is so cool. And actually, you know, I wanted to ask about advice that you would give, you know, to BCBA practitioners who are looking to leverage those strategies. You said consistency, which I feel like consistency is huge, you know, no matter what.
Yes. So there's a lot of tools now available. Like you can literally have like automated postings. And like you can schedule your posts. So one of the things that I used to do when I did have time, right now I'm trying to crank out my IEP program, but when you do have time, you want to bulk create. So one of the things that I do, especially on TikTok, since there's a lot of like comments, I like to answer all the questions. And then I like to post at least like once a day. So what I'll do is I'll save all those as a draft. And if I'm not in a mode to kind of like engage in social media, I'll just post. But another thing you want to do is you want to stay consistent on your feed. So you want to like you want to engage with your feed. So if you're not posting anything, at least comment on a post, like things, you know, you want to have that engagement going on. And one of the other things too that you want to be mindful of is your stories. If you're on Instagram, stories is a really great way to build rapport with your community. you can get their insight. You want to ask them questions. You're going to ask polls. You want to know what your audience, where their perspectives is, but also it's an opportunity for you to have that reciprocated conversation.
That's, yeah. I mean, you know, and it's interesting you say that too, because I've noticed that like on people's stories, you know, like going off of the autistic behavior analyst, like I've noticed when I post certain things like from my page, or if I post like certain things, I might gain more traction going mm-hmm. one specific way than the other. So, you know, it's really great that you mentioned that.
Yeah. And like I said, you want to build rapport with your community. I always love to welcome, and that's another thing too, that a tip is between all your social media platforms, I totally 100% suggest you to welcome your people that add you to your community. So especially if they're like a BCBA, an ABA practice, a grad student, if I see anything related to autism or ABA, I immediately insert myself, explain like, hey, thank you for joining my community, because I am thankful that you guys want to follow along my journey, you know? And especially when people share my stuff, oh my God, if you share my stuff, especially if you like have me tagged in it, it's a lot easier for me to reshare it on my story. But like, if you're sharing my stuff, I thank everyone for sharing my stuff. Like, thank you so much for sharing, because I appreciate everyone, all the exposure. If you resonate with my post, that means a lot to me. You know what I mean? That's all I'm here for. It's like, if I can, you know, if it's reinforcing for you, I appreciate the reinforcement, you know?
That is so cool. That is so cool to me. Like, and it really does seem like, you know, just the little things like that can go such a long way for rapport building.
And it's permanent product, girl, because I know I've reached out to a few people, and I always reach out, like I said, and you don't need to engage in the back and forth, but some people do actually conversate, and now it's like, oh my gosh, and then it leads to a connection, and then we end up meeting online, and it's like, okay, where are you at? Where are you? And now it ends up to a referral, and then some people just like it, or some people just ignore it. And then sometimes people ignore it, and then they reach out to you like 3 months later, and you see that you replied to them like when they first initiated, and it's like, oh, hi, yes, of course, no worries, please, welcome.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. Oh, that makes me so happy.
I just love connecting. I'm a people person, you know, and I love connecting with other people in the field that understand ABA, especially like being a BCBA, you know, like how our brains are too, and also being neurodivergent. It's nice to have a community that you can feel comfortable with, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm right there with you on that, especially neurodivergent, you know? So
that's why it's taken me forever to get to where I want to go too, because I'm always forgetting things and getting redirected.
Yep. Oh yeah. Literally, I live on reminders. So I'm right there with you. Like if I don't have a calendar or reminders or like something just going off, there's a chance that I'm forgetting about it.
Listen, I got like 3 calendars and this big one on my computer. And if you saw my alarm clock on my thing, I think I probably have 3-minute intervals for a 24-hour day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm literally that person who I might have a break in my schedule. So then I set like a 20-30 minute timer for myself where I can go engage in my own little thing. And then all of a sudden I'm back and, you know, my timer is off. Okay. I'm back and I'm doing the next thing that I'm supposed to do. Like it just works.
Yes. It's so funny too, because when I am at the office, I go live on my TikTok like all the time. And I have a routine. So one of the things too is like, all right, I sit down. I'm like, all right, guys, let's see what meetings I got. And I set up the timers online and I let them know. I'm like, I don't set these timers because I'm going to forget. And I always give myself like a 20-minute timer and then like that 5-minute prior timer. So
yeah,
I totally get it.
Oh my goodness. I love it. So how do you tailor your branding and marketing approaches to the unique needs and goals of individual BCBA professionals or ABA organizations?
Okay. Ask me that again.
So how do you tailor your branding and marketing approaches to the unique needs and goals of individual BCBA professionals or ABA organizations?
Like my personal branding and stuff like that to theirs?
Yeah. Like how do you tailor your own approaches to match their needs? Like individualizing the treatment when you think about it, right?
Okay, correct me if I'm not answering this how you wanted to, okay? Because I'm day, right? So when it comes to like connecting with like the other brands, it's like, for me, I feel like I'm individualizing my brand to myself and what I represent, right?
Sure.
And it's, when it comes to like other brands and what they're doing, it's, I mean, I don't compare myself or like my branding. It's like, I love learning what everyone else is doing. And I also know I want to represent what I stand for. So I think everyone has their own branding approach, and it's cool to kind of see what they kind of tend to go for. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm thinking about it from like, you know, when you first do an assessment, right. And you speak to a family, okay, what are your goals? And then how do you work with the goals that they have and sort of like make your services unique to them in that sense?
Oh, well, if whatever goals they kind of want, you're going to kind of like, you're going to, well, obviously you're going to tailor the goals, especially address specific, like accommodations or modifications that are needed for the kid to be successful on achieving those goals, right? So you always want to listen to the goals, the target or whatever they want to focus on, and then kind of collaborate to meet in the middle so that you're bringing in that expertise, but you're also including them in on what they're struggling with and meeting in the middle. So I hope that answered your question.
I think you answered it just fine. No, that's really.
Yeah, you don't want to, it's not like a cookie cutter. Like, I'm not going to go copy a goal from BB Map. It's like, okay, no, like, okay, this is kind of like what you want. All right, let's kind of figure out, this is the main goal. And all right, we're going to kind of target these different things, but we're going to add this in because this is what you're working on and this is what you're struggling with. So let's kind of come together and.
Exactly. And, but remember too, like outside of our time together, you are expected to work on it. You know, we have to make sure that you're maintaining the skill and generalizing it over time, you know, so things like that too.
Yeah. Generalizing. I can generalize everything. I love generalization.
Me too.
Let me tell you something. And that, like a lot of my resources too, that's what I do. I generalize. I give you an example of what it is and what it could look like in the home, what it could look like in the school, what it could look like in the community. So
I love it.
Depending on what environment, if you're a parent, teacher, sibling, staff, that makes sense. You know, you need to generalize. You need to generalize a lot of things so that you could realize, oh, shoot, this is important skill to know or to carry over. And, you know, you could be flexible or modify how it looks to still get serve the same function, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they're between that and like, you know, understanding like their needs. What are some common misconceptions or reservations that practitioners may have regarding integration of marketing within their practice? And how do you help address that?
I think some of the misconceptions, I don't think a lot of companies realize, the potential of taking advantage of social media, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they realize how much opportunities are out there, especially if they're not really focused on pushing or having a social media presence. But like I tell a lot of the you know, the business owners that I speak with, especially if they're looking for more advice, how do I make more money? I'm like, listen, I have a guy. You want to have a little store? You could offer merch for families could purchase merch. You could have notebooks, cups. Like that's another avenue that you can kind of take so that you have a little store on your business website. You can offer digital resources so that if a teacher comes or a school district's looking for stuff, they could download your resource guide. There's a lot of different ways that branding can actually like really scale your business. And I think they're just not aware of digital marketing and how much branding has a huge impact and where it can really go, especially when it goes to like, you know, forming partnerships and like opportunities out there. So, yeah, I think the big misconception when it comes to like branding is that they don't really understand how much of an impact they could actually make that could really benefit them at the end.
Have you ever had any consumers that have been like, oh, I don't know, you know, maybe like we shouldn't, or maybe like this just isn't it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever run into that before?
I think not too many like consumers specifically, because they don't really come for me for branding. I think one of the things is probably like my, the grad students when it comes to like deciding their name, right? It's like, oh, I was thinking about this. But then one of the things too that I mentioned that you guys listening, if you're interested in starting your own business, you want to secure your digital landscape. Okay. So if you have a business idea name, you better see if it's available on TikTok, Instagram, because if it's taken, then you obviously kind of have to work around it or change your name. So those are about kind of to be mindful of when it does come to like, I don't know. Or like another thing too, is like a lot of ABA companies, they kind of, there's a lot that kind of use the same, you know, name like ABA or like behavior or like mindfulness. There's a lot of different pages with like the kind of like the same words just mixed up a little bit. So
yeah,
obviously when you do have a couple groups like that, you kind of have to be mindful of how you present yourself and how you brand yourself, because you don't want to be too close to that, because then they're not going to be able to kind of like, it's like SEO, right? You got to switch up the SEO so it doesn't go to one website compared to like your website.
Yeah that is very true. You know, you have to be unique, you know. Mm-hmm. That's so important. You can't just be like, you know, when you put bricks on a house, you can't just like camouflage in that same set of bricks. You gotta be the bright yellow brick in a wall of red bricks.
Yeah, it's tricky, especially since like ABA is just, it's like we're all stuck in this little niche and like we all represent the same thing. So it's like, how can we kind of like, you know, have our own identity?
Exactly. I mean, identity is so huge. And you know, I've definitely like come to learn that, especially just within like my own Instagram, you know, being the autistic behavior analyst, it's like, it's really important to make sure that that identity is just like, you know, truly there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So as the founder of ABA Made Easy, you know, you've definitely navigated and are still navigating the intersection of ABA and marketing. So what future trends or developments do you foresee in this evolving relationship between the two fields?
Oh my God. I'm so excited and motivated to like really empower. We need more practitioners to be motivated and empowered to like really start their own practice, you know? And it's like, guys, if I can show you how to make money online and start sharing the business sense so that you can kind of be motivated to start your own practice, and I'm going to give you insight, like, guys, you could totally do it, like with the right guidance and support, especially when it comes to like branding and marketing, right? I'm on social media. I'm telling you, hey, you want to start a business? Let me show you the ropes. Let me give you a test list. You know what I mean? Because you can absolutely have your whole social media presence too, and also start making passive income before you even establish your company.
Yeah.
All of my mentors, like and depending on like how motivated they are, right? Like I have had my course already 3 times, and one of the students, like she just bought it like a few weeks ago, and she's already formed her LLC. She's got her business website. She's already done her branding. She's already got a digital product. She's already got a store. I'm like, oh my goodness, girl, you're killing it!
Oh my God, that is
so. It's all about that motivation. But it's like, guys, I promise you, digital marketing. And that's another thing, the term digital marketing, it's just like, listen, that's not what I do. No. It's like, it's really easy, guys. Like digital marketing is just literally creating something, you market it, you sell it, boom, you're a digital marketing person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. it's just like another tool to kind of learn and navigate. And then once you master it, you just generalize it. And it's like, oh my gosh, you put a little response effort to learn a new skill that's going to project you to your another potential, like your fuller potential.
Exactly. I mean, master it, generalize it, maintain it. You're doing all the things, you know. It's like,
yeah, you need to. And also too, as an entrepreneur, you need to invest in yourself, right?
Yeah, that is true.
You got to spend money to make money. But if you don't have the knowledge and resources, then you got to go insert your time where TikTok, Instagram, reaching out to other people, or invest in a course that's going to give you a roadmap and a shortcut.
Yeah, that's very true. And I mean, like, you know, if you don't invest in yourself, who's going to invest in you, you know?
Yes, you always need to reinforce yourself. That's why my first shirt is always reinforce yourself, guys. Always put yourself first.
I love that so much. Oh my goodness. Oh, well, now we're on to the second code word of the podcast. And this is a word that has been said multiple times, entrepreneur. That is spelled E-N-T-R-E-P-R-E-N-E-U-R. That is entrepreneur. So just a couple of final questions. Looking ahead, what new initiatives or services can we expect from ABA Made Easy?
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of launching my Empowerpreneur. It's a mindset mentorship, right? Because when you do become an entrepreneur, it's very lonely. And it's like, especially when you don't have other business owners or anyone in your family that's gone this route, I want to create a really safe community that I wish I had, especially to help me, to help guide you and give you insight. So it's going to be a monthly membership. It's only $39. And if you didn't want to do the monthly membership, you can hop on for $25. But it's really to kind of give you guidance, have a little community, offer insights. But also I have a lot of business opportunities and affiliate links that I'm landing. So I want to pass those on to my mentors so I could show them, like, listen, this is digital marketing. This is how you can make passive income. You want this link? You just put it in your Stand store and now you make passive money. So I just really want to empower others and like really help those entrepreneurs. And even if you're a business owner right now, you know, there's always, it's always nice to kind of connect with others. It's like, hey, I'm struggling in this area. What do you suggest? So that's something that's coming.
I love it. That is so cool. That is so cool. And you know, what would you say are like your final pieces of advice for anyone who's like, oh, I want to start a business, but I just don't know how. What should I do?
I think that, well, I offer a free 15-minute consult. But if you're just eager and you're like, you know what, and you're ready to invest in yourself, my baseline business behavior mentorship is on my Stand store. There's reviews there that you can reference. There's several reviews. But for the most part, I think it's really kind of like reaching out to those that are doing what you want to do. Or if you're not really at that position to really kind of reach out, just you got to kind of have to do your research like I did. It took me a whole year.
Yeah. That's very, very true. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Christina. I am so happy that I got the chance to talk to you. Where can our listeners find you?
Yes. First of all, I'm so happy to have been on the show. So much fun.
Yay.
But yeah, everyone can find me at aba.abamadeeasy with an E and a Z. So that's on TikTok and on Instagram, and I'm Christina Torres on in LinkedIn, and then my website is abamadeeasy.com.
I love it. I love it. Well, oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much again, Christina. I'm so happy to have had the chance to talk to you, and thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. Can't wait for the next one. Bye.